This morning, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Psalm 41. We return to our series for a few more weeks, considering the blessing of the Lord. More specifically, really, how we can make God's blessing happen in our lives. We know this is true. God has blessed us. God has blessed us abundantly. God has blessed us richly. We need to recognize that. We need to remember that. Scrolling through Facebook just the other day, I saw little picture, little quote, didn't say who it originated with, but it had this to say, "No matter how stressed you are, always remember how blessed you are." Isn't that good? We need to do that, don't we? No matter what you're going through today, do you remember you're blessed? No matter what you're going through today, you need to remember you're blessed. Despite the trouble and the difficulty, I pray that all of us, it would be our answer whenever asked about our lives. We're blessed. We're blessed and we know it. Living our lives through the lens of God's goodness, how good He's been to us, how richly He's blessed us. It's good that we do that. It's good for us that we do that. God has blessed us. We know it's true, and we know this to be true as well. No matter how much He has already, God wants to bless us more. Blessing is His will for us. I believe that. I really do. I hope you do. Blessing is God's plan for your life and for mine. Think of that as it relates to still the remainder of this year, 2020. What's God's plan for you? And I know God's plan would certainly be multifaceted and many dynamics related to it. And even a sense where each and every day, what's God's plan for today, my March 8th? And what's God's plan for my tomorrow? And yet all of that existing under sort of the umbrella picture of His plan for you in the remainder of this year. And though there would certainly be many things related to that, I believe it's absolutely true. I believe it's scripturally true that every one of us in this room can declare boldly and confidently today, I know God's plan for me, at least in part related to this year. His plan is to bless me. Isn't it good to know that? Aren't you glad you serve a God who plans blessing for you? It's blessing that awaits us, and though it would be true we could pray and ask for that blessing, Scripture reveals to us another way we can make the blessing happen. Psalm 41, verse 1. Blessed is he who has regard for the weak. Another translation says it this way: blessed is the one who has concern for helpless people. The Living Bible says, God blesses those who are kind to the poor. There's blessing that comes to us very simply in how we respond and how we treat people, specifically the weak, the helpless, the poor. Treat them rightly, and without having to ask or pray, you will experience the blessing of God. You will be blessed. You will make the blessing happen. Let me share with you a few thoughts related to that this morning, what that looks like for us, how we do that more and better, and what happens ultimately as we do. The first, let's say it this way, see people. See people. Depending on the translation that we would consider this morning, we're looking for, we're striving to see more and better the weak, the helpless, the poor. Consider those words for a moment. How do you define them? How do you describe people that are living there? Can I encourage you? Can I help you to see more and better the people there? Be careful of putting into a small box that group. I want to caution you this morning. We're not simply talking about what you do to that person that you see standing at the intersection with the little sign that says, need food, money, anything will help, God bless you. I'm not talking simply about you going and volunteering at the soup kitchen to help those and provide a meal, provide a lunch. We're not talking this morning just about the homeless, just about the jobless, those who don't have provisions enough even for daily necessities, even for a meal. They would fit into the group. But I want to encourage you this morning. I want to challenge you today. There are far more than just those that would fit into the poor, helpless, weak kind of category. They would, but it's more than just them. Not just those by the side of the road, but in fact, those that you're sitting next to may very well fall into the category of Psalm 41, the weak, the helpless, the poor. Let me just share with you a few of my thoughts as I think of those words and the people that would fit that description. Outside of maybe our immediate thought, going to the poor, don't have money, don't have a home, don't have clothing, don't have food. Beyond that, the weak. How about this? It's the one struggling. It's the one struggling in their faith, their walk with God, and their fight with the devil. Have you ever been there? Weak. Weak in your faith. Weak in relationship, your relationship with Jesus, not what it should be. Have you ever been there? Weak in your fight with the enemy. The devil seeming to win more battles in your life. Weak in the fight against temptation. You saying yes to the temptation more than saying no. Have you been there? It's the one discouraged. It's the one beaten up in life. It's the one that's vulnerable. Vulnerable to a collapsing of their faith, giving up, throwing in the towel, quitting the race. Have you ever been there? Ready to give up. God, I trusted you. I believed in you. I've served you faithfully to the very best of my ability, and yet my life looks like a story of disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. I think I'm done trying. I think I'm going to give up. I think I'm going to throw in the towel. I'm going to stop believing for the miracle. I'm going to stop trusting. I'm going to stop stepping out in the faith. I'm not going to do that anymore. Weakened. Where you're at. The helpless. It's the one with no way out. No perceived answer to their problem. To their difficulty. It's the one who's stuck. Have you ever felt that way? Stuck. I'm stuck and I don't see any way how to be unstuck. This is not what I planned for my life. This is not where I wanted to be with my life. This is not where I wanted to be in my life. And yet I'm stuck and I can't see how to move from here where I don't want to be. Helpless. Helpless in a loveless marriage. Helpless in broken family relationships. Helpless with rebellious children. Helpless in incurable, untreatable diagnosis from the doctor. Helpless in unsatisfying, joy-deprived, going-nowhere kind of job. Helpless in a seemingly purposeless life. The weak, the helpless, the poor. Sure, it's one poor in possession. Maybe it's the one poor in friendship. Poor is to simply lack. It means you don't have much. It means you don't have enough. Do you know those who don't have much by way of friends? Have you been there? Lonely. Maybe like Jay, who submitted on our website this simple prayer request. Pray that God would cure me of my loneliness and give me friends I can trust. Maybe it's the one that has few friends because they're hard to befriend. Maybe they're perceived as unlovable, described as intolerable. They bother everyone they meet. They drive us nuts. I heard it from one. He calls them EGRs, extra grace required kind of people. They're not like us. They don't think like us. They're not like anybody. They don't think like anybody. They don't act like anybody. They don't believe like anybody. Nobody wants to be their friend. Maybe it's the one even that has few friends because they're inclined to hurt. They easily offend. Maybe they're easily offended. They have a history of disappointing or maybe even betraying. Maybe it's the one needing comfort. Comfort is what they lack. That's poverty, right? We almost always think of it in the context of money, food, or possessions. But how about the one who's needing comfort and just doesn't have any? The bank account that is filled with comfort has been depleted, and they're showing a zero balance. And yet they're needing to make some withdrawals because they've gone through some heavy grief, gone through some difficult things. Maybe it's the one poor in education, instruction, discipleship. It's the one who does everything wrong, not because they're trying to do that, but because they don't know another way besides that. Maybe it's the one poor in mercy and grace. All they ever do is mess everything up. And all people ever remind them of is how much they always mess everything up. They feel themselves to be a failure. They live under a constant cloud of condemnation, lacking mercy, lacking grace. Maybe it's the one poor in confidence, encouragement. They have no one to tell them, good job. Only those that are quick at every turn to point out even the smallest of mistakes. Do everything right, one thing wrong. All they ever hear about is the wrong. They would love to do more, but there's no confidence to do it. It's just going to result in more people pointing out more mistakes. Do you understand this morning? The poor, the helpless, the weak, far larger in category than we would maybe be inclined to first think. Maybe we could simply think of it this way. Beyond the description of how they are or what they're going through, the weak, the helpless, the poor, it's the one that won't be able to return the favor. If you do with the main concern of what's in it for me, you probably won't do anything for them. Because they're the weak, they're the helpless, they're the poor. They have nothing to offer you in return for your help. Do you understand? When we consider it more carefully, we recognize this: the hurting, the needy, the helpless, the weak, the poor, they are all around us. They're not just at that one intersection. They're not just downtown at the soup kitchen. They may very well be sitting in the room right now with us today. Tomorrow, in all likelihood, you will occupy the very same office space with them. You will pass them in the grocery store, aisle them going the one way and you the other. The question this morning, will you see them? No matter where you go, everywhere you go, they will be there. Will you notice them? Will you notice them before you leave here today? The weak, the helpless, the poor in this room. Will they walk out of this place before you've seen them? Before you've noticed them? At your work, in the grocery store, wherever you happen to find yourself, in the school, at the gym, will you see them? Wherever you are, they'll be there. Will you notice them? Will you be aware? We talk about being self-aware. It's a good thing, but I think we're pretty good at that. We need to practice more being others aware. Are your ears listening so as to detect the story of the struggling one? Is your heart sensitive so as to recognize the one that needs your help? Do you see them? The weak, the poor, the helpless, they're constantly moving through your circle of influence. Wherever you are, they're there. Do you see them? Jesus saw the people. He really saw them, harassed, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. This last week, you saw people, or did you? You saw them, but did you really see them? Weak, helpless, poor, distressed, depressed, discouraged, struggling, hurting. If you want the full blessing of God upon your life, and we do, don't we? We want every blessing He has to offer. We want to live in the fullness of His blessing. We're going to need to make sure we see better. Today, make the blessing happen by simply asking God that He would open your eyes so that you would see people, that you would see just how great the opportunity you have to help, to care for, to be kind to the weak, to the helpless, to the poor all around you. The second thing this morning, be intentional. Be prepared. Have a plan. That's part of being intentional. Make yourself ready to help, to minister to the weak and to the helpless and to the poor that you would encounter. Can I ask you, what's your plan? A lot of us, we fall flat there, don't we? What do you mean, my plan? What's your plan for you when you encounter the poor? And again, this morning we've established, I'm not just talking about the one that needs the money. I'm not just talking about the one that needs the lunch or the dinner or the new outfit or the new shoes or the new winter coat or the new school backpack. I'm not talking about the one that just can't afford the things that are needed in life. Our description goes far beyond that. So can I ask it to you this way this morning? As we establish and we recognize and understand the weak and the helpless and the poor sit among us right now, what's your plan? Come on, brother, what's your plan? What's your plan, sister, to help a brother who's weak, who's struggling, who's hurting, who's feeling poor, who's feeling needy, who's feeling helpless in this moment because of all that they're going through? What's your plan? And I ask you, before you left the church today, out there in the foyer, before you even left this room, all of a sudden Mary made aware that right here, the poor, the weak, the helpless, are you prepared to help? Really, to be intentional ultimately is this: seek out the opportunity. Have a plan and be prepared, but understand, don't wait for it to come to you. You go get it. Purpose in your heart to be involved. Purpose in your heart to do something today. Wherever you go, the weak, the helpless, the poor, they're going to be there. Wherever you go, you're going to encounter people that need you, that need your help, that need your kindness, that need your generosity, that need your encouragement, that need your strength, that need your wisdom. Now, be intentional. Don't wait for them to come to you. You go find them. Wherever you go, whenever you go, let it be when you arrive, your prayer becomes, who, Lord? Who? Who here is weak and poor and helpless? Who, Lord? Who here is the reason for me being here? Who here is the reason you sent me here? You didn't send me here just to fulfill the grocery list. Who, Lord? Who here is needing a word of encouragement? Who here is needing a new friend? Who here is needing comfort? I can't even imagine how even this church would be different if as soon as we walked through those doors, it was our question to the Lord, who? Who? You brought me here for somebody. Who is it? Who is it that needs the strength? Who is it that needs the help? Who is it that's feeling poor and weak and helpless? Who? Who, Lord? I can't imagine what your workplace would be like if you walked through the doors. Who, Lord, have you sent me to? You brought me here for a reason. Now, who is it? I'm ready. I've got a plan. I've purposed in my heart. I'm looking for the opportunity. Where are they? Is it that one? Is it that one? I'm ready, Lord, to go and to do your business in ministering to the poor and the weak and the helpless. Do you understand? Go into your day, every day, with a plan prepared, ready to help. Go into your day, every day, looking for the one that you can help. There's a Christian businessman in Ohio. Came across this little illustration some time ago. I probably shared it a few times. He puts something in his pocket every morning to give away. A pen, a trinket, sometimes even a $10 bill. And as the day unfolds, he looks for someone who would be blessed by receiving a gift. By constantly looking for an opportunity to give, he says, I have a wonderful day. How about that? Beyond the pen, the trinket, or even the $10 bill, how about a word of kindness? How about a word of encouragement? How about you prepare yourself with a good word? Scroll your way through Facebook. Find your own. If you're stressed, remember you're blessed. Google great quotes of encouragement. Find a scripture. Prepare yourself with a good word. Now, go into your day. Who, Lord? Who needs this good word? I've got a good word, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Now here I am, smack dab in the middle of Kroger. Who, Lord? Who is it? Who is it that needs the, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm not leaving this church, God, until you show me who it is that needs the good word, that he never leaves us, he never forsakes us. Beyond the pen and the trinket and the $10 bill, how about you? How about your presence? How about you prepared to give yourself? Now you go into the day. Who, Lord? Who needs a friend? Who needs someone to simply sit with them? Who needs the reminder that they're not alone? Who needs someone to come and have someone put an arm around them and say, listen, man, I don't know even all that you're going through. I don't know what's happening. I don't know the answer, but I'm here for you. Who needs the one to have a brother, a sister, a friend, letting them to know that they're not alone? How about a prayer for strength, a scripture to strengthen? How about you prepare yourself with that? I have a prayer for the one that needs strengthened now. Who, Lord? Who needs the prayer? Who is it that you would send me? Hey, brother. Hey, sister. Hey, my friend. Can I pray for you? The Lord has just given me a prayer that I believe would bring strength to the troubled heart. And I just sense that the Lord would have me to pray it for you and over you. Do you understand? Be intentional. I think as we look at our lives, unless I miss my guess, a lot of us would wonder, is the blessing for us? I don't know what I do to take care of the poor. I don't know what I do to take care of the helpless or the weak. Immediately our mind goes to the guy at the side of the road. I don't see that guy very often. When I do, I don't always have some cash. I don't always have anything to give. Besides, I don't know that guy. I don't know what he's going to do with the money I give. I don't have time to volunteer at the soup kitchen. I work a 9-to-5. I don't know when I can go. No, no, no. Though we would not neglect those things, we expand that box this morning, and we recognize that the poor and the helpless and the weak are all around us. And so rather than sitting back and saying, I'm not sure that the blessing fits me because I just don't have the opportunity to do much, no, you go and make the opportunity happen. You go and find the one that's poor, weak, and helpless. have a plan, be prepared. Go and find them so that you might minister to them. Number three, do something. Do something. 1 John chapter 3. If anyone has material possessions, sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? The Message says it this way. If you see a brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears. And you made it disappear. Come on, church. Let's not be a people making the love of God disappear where we go and when we go. Let's make the love of God fill the room. Because the love of God in us is the love of God that's flowing out of us. We're doing something. Can I say it this way? We need to see better. We need to be more intentional. But in the end, we just need to do something. How can we claim to be Christians after all? How can we claim to love God? How can we claim the love of God is in us if we don't do anything? What do we do? What can we do? A few thoughts. How about this? Show love to. Show love to people wherever you go. One says this, our job is to love people we don't have to love. We could think of it in another context. Our job is to love people that are unlovable. I love the thought as it relates to loving people. Love people when they expect it and even deserve it the least. Find that one. Find the one that's not expecting anyone to love on them. Find the one that doesn't deserve anyone loving on them. And you go love on that person. 1 John chapter 3, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth. Psalm 41, our verse, the Message puts it this way. Dignify those who are down on their luck. You'll feel good because that's what God does. Dignify. To dignify is to give distinction to. It's to make noble. It's to elevate. It's to esteem. It's to honor. It's to make worthy. Now, imagine, considering the weak, the helpless, the poor, imagine it's you, weakened in your faith, helpless in the problem that you're dealing with. Poor, lacking, not just financial reasons, lacking comfort, lacking mercy, lacking encouragement. You need it, but it's depleted. It's a zero balance. There's none for you to draw from, and you're poor. Imagine now someone comes, and they make you to be noble. Imagine they come, they elevate you. They esteem you. They honor you. I think it's a great way that we could show love to those that are weak and helpless and poor. To give to them, to show to them a dignity they can't find anywhere else. Proverbs 17, a friend loves at all times. To the weak, to the helpless, to the poor, be a friend. Be for them and to them a friend that loves always. May our lives be defined by love. May it ever be all that we encounter, especially the weak and the helpless and the poor, that they would know. All would know, but especially they would know. We are His disciples by our love. What can you do? You can just go show love to people. How about this? Have compassion on. Compassion is to hurt with someone. The dictionary defines it sympathetic consciousness of another's distress with a desire to alleviate it. Hurting with someone to the degree that you're wanting to help them, willing to help them, ready to help them. My favorite story as it relates to compassion is when the leper comes to Jesus and Jesus has compassion on him. And we don't read immediately that he heals him, but Jesus has compassion and puts his hand on him. The untouchable. No one had touched the leper for probably as long as he had leprosy. And Jesus having, he's going to heal. He's going to help the leper to be cleansed. But before he does that, he shows to him a compassion that probably the man had never known in all of his life. Can I encourage you? There's something about the power of touch. I do it all the time when I'm subbing. I'll just go and I'll just put my arm around the kids. Hey, are you doing okay? Hey, how's the work going? Listen, I don't want it to be weird, but I believe something in the power. Listen, it's not weird. It's scriptural. We lay our hands because there's something powerful in that. There's something of a compassion. Jesus wanted to show compassion to the leper, and this is how he did it. He put his hand on the man to let him know that he wasn't untouchable, not to Jesus. Don't be afraid to put your arm around some. Don't be afraid to stand at arm's length. Don't be afraid to intrude upon personal space. I'm going to love on you, brother. I'm going to hug on you. I won't put my arm around. I know it's weird. We're not even in church supposed to hold hands anymore because it's weird and awkward and palms get sweaty. But listen, there's something to be said about showing that kind of compassion and bridging the gap and letting the untouchable know that in fact they're not that at all. Show love to, have compassion on. How about this? Be generous towards. Give of yourself, your presence, your time, your resources. Give. Give. Be there for others. Give your time. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Jesus laid down his life, can't, out of love and compassion and generosity. We lay down our calendars, our agenda for the weak, for the poor, the helpless. Just say it the way it is this morning. We're too busy. Some of you need to hear it this morning. I just don't know how else to tell you. You're too busy. And I know you would tell me, but Pastor, it's family and it's friends and it's work and it's I'm doing all these good things. Listen, you're too busy. You need to slow it down. You're never going to see people. You're never going to be intentional. You're never going to do something. You're going to miss out on the blessing of God. And I don't care what your busyness is. If it causes you to miss out on his blessing, I'm here to tell you as your pastor this morning, you're too busy. You need to start saying no. You need to quit. You need to find a way to make margins in your life. You're not doing anything for the kingdom, and you're comfortable in it because I'm busy this and I'm busy doing that. You need to be about the kingdom, not about your busyness. You're too busy. You're doing too much. Unless you missed the point this morning, you're being too busy in the temporary, in the insignificant, not going to bring you his blessing stuff. Do you understand that, right? There are things that are temporary, and there are things that are eternal. There are things that are store up yourselves treasures on earth, moth and rust, going to destroy it all anyways. And then there are the things you store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where it lasts for all eternity. Some of you are too busy. Bottom line, exclamation point. Some of you are too busy in the temporary, in the insignificant. And you need to begin to change your focus so that you might be able to serve, help, give your time, minister to the weak, to the helpless, to the poor. Be generous and rich in good works. Be generous in serving. Matthew chapter 20. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served. Be generous with your words. Be generous with encouragement. Speak life to others. Speak encouragement. Speak truth. Don't be afraid to speak truth. Speak blessing, speak hope, be a distributor of hope wherever you go. Speak joy, speak peace, be a proclaimer of peace wherever you go. Be generous in listening. I believe if we listen better, I think we would see better. If we listen better to people's stories, we would be able to see better. Hey, there's a brother that's weak. There's a brother that's poor. There's a brother that's feeling helpless. Learn to listen better. Be generous with your ears. Be generous in comfort. Be generous in prayer. How about this? Be an intercessor. Be generous with your prayer time. Give it away to others. 10 minutes of prayer. I'm going to be so generous, I'm only going to leave a minute for myself and 9 minutes for everyone I know that might be suffering, that might be feeling weak, poor, helpless. How about this? Be generous with Jesus. Wherever you go, give people Jesus. How about this? Wherever you go, be Jesus. Isn't it true? In the end, after all, he's all we need. The weak, the helpless, the poor, he's all they need. Be generous with him. Let your life reflect him. Be an imitator of the Lord wherever you go. In 2 Corinthians, just as you excel in everything. In faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and love for us, see that you excel in the grace of giving. Be generous. How about this? Still one more. Show love, have compassion, be generous, and go to battle for. Psalm 106. Blessed are they who maintain justice, who constantly do what's right. A lot of times my kids, they will start fighting, and we'll encourage them, especially dad, we're lovers, not fighters. That's what I'll tell them. We're lovers, not fighters. Listen, for the weak, for the helpless, for the poor, be a fighter. Listen to me, New Life. Fight for the unborn. Fight for the elderly. Fight for the widowed. Fight for the orphaned. Fight for the addicted. Fight for the sick. Listen, go to battle for the hurting, for the grieving, for the abused, for the mixed up, for the messed up, even for the sinner. Go to battle for them and their salvation. Fight. Be willing to lay it all down. Be willing to give it all up for them. We read it a minute ago, 1 John chapter 3. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. Jesus fought to the death for you. Now you go and do something. Show love. Have compassion. Be generous. Go to battle for the weak. Go to battle for the helpless. Go to battle for the poor. Do what's right. Maintain justice. Fight for them. Psalm 41 presents to us the way of blessing and the way to make the blessing of God happen in our lives. Blessed is he who has regard for the weak. But it's interesting as you read through Scripture, to engage, to help or not to help, to minister or not to minister to the weak, to the poor, to the helpless. That question, your response to it, it's more than just a matter of you being blessed or not blessed. I want you to listen closely this morning. Proverbs 14 and verse 21, this from the Living Bible. To despise the poor is to sin. Blessed are those who help them. The Message says it's criminal to ignore a neighbor in need. But compassion for the poor, what a blessing. Verse 31 of the same chapter, he who oppresses the poor, you know this, he shows contempt for their maker. But whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Do you understand? Doing nothing is not an option. Because sin is not an option for us. Living in sin, which is what we do when we despise and or neglect the poor, that's not an option. Showing contempt for God, that's not how the child of God is supposed to live. That is not how our lives are to be defined. So doing nothing is not an option. So we see people, we get intentional so that we might do something to minister and to help. finally. And this is our message this morning. This is why we come to this portion of Scripture. Number four, experience blessing. Blessed is he who has regard for the weak. Watch this, Psalm 41, if your Bible's still open. It's unbelievable. Blessed is he who has regard for the weak. Now watch as the blessing begins to unfold. The Lord delivers him in times of trouble. Verse 2, the Lord will protect him and preserve his life. He will bless him in the land and not surrender him to the desire of his foes. Verse 3, it's unbelievable. The Lord will sustain him on his sickbed and restore him from the bed of illness. Do you understand? There is healing that could very well come to your physical body. Not as you're prayed for, not as you come to a healing line, not even as you're anointed with oil, but as you simply go and show concern and kindness, minister and help the weak, the poor, and the helpless. The blessing clearly laid out for us in Psalm 41. How about this in Proverbs 19 and verse 7? He who is kind to the poor, you know it, he does what? He lends to the Lord. And God will reward him for what he's done. When you speak the kind word, when you speak the word of encouragement, when you offer the friendship to the one lacking in friends, when you provide comfort to the one grieving, when you give yourself, your time, your resources, you didn't have to, but you did anyways. When you do something for the weak, the helpless, the poor, you lend to the Lord. And God says in response to what you've done, hey, I owe them. I owe them. I got to make sure I send them a thank you card. I got to make sure I let them know how much I appreciate what they just did and how they helped. Ultimately, in considering the people that are poor, weak, and helpless, we sort of settled on this. The weak, the poor, it's the one that won't be able to return the favor. Understand, you'll give without getting. You'll share your strength with them without being able to draw strength from them. You'll give your time and your resources. They'll have none to give back to you. Those are the kind of people I'm just giving. I'm giving all the time, giving, 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 and there's nothing. I'm depleted because all I'm doing is giving, giving, giving. I'm not getting any comfort. I'm not getting any encouragement back. I'm not getting any strength back. Initially, it may very well be a very one-sided kind of interaction, costing you everything with little or even no return. But understand this morning, according to Proverbs, lest you're worried about that or think that not a good exchange, though they might not be able to return or give back to you, the Lord can, and he will. Forget that the folks you're helping have nothing to give back to you. Remember this, when you help them, you're lending to the Lord. And he has plenty for you. Proverbs 28, this is unbelievable. This is the blessing that comes from helping, ministering, showing kindness. Proverbs 28 and verse 27, he who gives to the poor will lack nothing. Nothing. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, he said this, to get, we must give. To accumulate, we must scatter. To make ourselves happy, we must make others happy. And that in order to become spiritually vigorous, we must seek the spiritual good of others. If I carefully consider others, God will consider me. And in some way or other, he will recompense me. Let me consider the poor, and the Lord will consider me. Let me look after little children, and the Lord will treat me as his child. Let me feed his flock, and he will feed me. Let me water his garden, and he will make a watered garden of my soul. I may care about myself till I grow morbid. I may watch over my own feelings till I feel nothing. And I may lament my own weakness till I grow almost too weak to lament. It will be far more profitable for me to become unselfish and out of love for my Lord Jesus begin to care for the souls of those around me. Watch this now. My tank is getting very low. No fresh rain comes to fill it. This is what Spurgeon says. What shall I do? My tank is getting low and there's no water coming in. That's what he says. I'll pull out the plug and I'll let its contents run out to water the withering plants around me. And then this. No. What do I see? My cisterns seem to fill up as it flows out. A secret spring is at work. While all was stagnant, the fresh spring was sealed. But as my stock flows out to water others, the Lord thanketh upon me. And Spurgeon concludes, as any good Christian ought to, hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, if you're feeling stagnant this morning, if you're feeling that the fresh springs of God's Spirit and God's anointing have stopped, you might need to pull the plug so that what's in you begins to flow out of you. And watch and see, what is this? As the water flows out, the springs of heaven open up over me. And fresh, new, living water flows once again. Blessed is he who has regard for the weak. Father, we thank you today for your word that would remind us and let us to know how we can make the blessing of God happen in our lives. So, Lord, I pray that in this moment you would give us a new heart, a new burden for the weak, the helpless, the poor. And may we not neglect those that we would immediately think of, the family that we know of that hardly has anything to live on. Husbands lost a job, wives lost the job. May our eyes catch the guy on the side of the road. We maybe not look past him too quickly. May we find perhaps a time to volunteer at the soup kitchen. Find a way to make food to help out. Lord, this morning as well, though, you open our heart to a new understanding that the poor, the weak, and the helpless, it's far more than just those. It's a whole host of people that would fit into that description. Give us a newfound sensitivity. Give us a newfound burden for the weak, the poor, the helpless that might sit among us in church, work with us, attend school with us, go to the gym with us, be at the restaurant with us, the grocery store with us, all around us. Father, help us to see them, be intentional, be plan, have a plan, be prepared, do something so that we might experience your blessing. Father, speak to our hearts, each and every one in this room, how we can respond to this morning's message. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Be blessed today. Be blessed this week. Be blessed the remainder of this year. I pray that you would be. I pray that you would do the things that would make it to be blessed. Don't just wait for the blessing to happen. Make the blessing happen. Go out this week. Find a way to help, to be kind to the weak, the helpless, and the poor. And this morning, I would declare once more his blessing over you. As under shepherd of the great shepherd, high priest of this assembly, on the authority of God's word granted to me, I speak his blessing into your life. Would you extend your hands to receive it this morning? This is for real. May the Lord hold you and keep you. May the Lord give you comfort. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you his favor and his peace. May the Lord bless you. Amen. Amen.